Okay, welcome everyone. You are listening to the PMB Programming Committee meeting of January 22nd, 2019. I'm Catherine Davis, the chair. Our vice chair is Eric Ramey, and the secretary is Jim Dingman. I'm going to call the roll. Grace Aaron.
Here.
Jane Aaron. Not currently present. Catherine Davis, here. Benito Diaz. Not currently present. James Dingman.
Here.
Anissa Faruqi.
Here.
Present. Sabrina Jacobs.
Here.
Okay. Steve Fry. Not present. Eric Ramey.
Present.
Cliff Murray Cliff Smith. Not present. Tom Voorhees.
Here.
Okay, so we have quorum. And for the stream, I'm going to mention that we have removed some committee members. Unless they arrive and participate in this meeting, they can be reinstated. But at the moment, Wesley Bassoon, Jean Downey, and Dwayne Lark are removed from the role of the committee. So let's go to our timekeeper for today's meeting. Who would volunteer? Eric?
Speaking. Yes.
Okay. Eric is our timekeeper, and we have, I believe, two sets of minutes. Is that correct, Jim? December 18th and December 27th.
Correct.
Okay. So are there any corrections for the December 18th meeting minutes? Okay, hearing none, those minutes are approved. Are there any corrections for the December 27th meeting's agenda? Minutes. Okay, hearing none, those minutes are approved. And now we have changes to the agenda. I have the initial agenda that I submitted in the last meeting, in which we had 14 motions for consideration. So we received a lot of new motions by Jim over yesterday.
Yeah.
So we want to add those to the agenda.
If somebody has those either, Jim, can you send those out, if you don't mind, if you can just send it out on the blast?
Okay, cool.
Thanks. Thank you. Please.
Okay, so I am going to say that all of these corrections will be added to the agenda, though I wasn't able to print anything out and send it to you guys. My computer was down for a good while. So is there any objection to adding all of these motions to the agenda that are not originally on them? Okay, hearing none, we'll do that. Are there any other additions or changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, the agenda is approved. And so then we will just go through these motions one by one. And Eric, let's start with 10 minutes per item.
Sure.
And that way we can go through and get through.
Okay, so all these,
we can,
I'm sorry, so all the motions will be included in the 10 minutes, or is it 10 minutes per motion?
10 minutes per motion.
Okay, great.
10 minutes per motion. The first motion that I have on the agenda is the broadcast disclaimer cards. And I know that that was a motion sponsored by Ken Aaron. So he's not on the he's not here. But also, Grace, you responded to that. Did you have something you wanted to add, or did you have a replacement motion, or can you speak to that motion at all?
Point of clarity, Madam Chair.
Yes.
There were many handouts attached to, I guess, in your agenda.
I'm sorry. I need to interrupt you 1 second. I'm terribly sorry. We have quite a bit of background activity there. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just could.
Yeah, that is the.
I just don't understand why we can't mute that phone.
Anissa, please try to mute a phone.
Yeah, that's not really going to be able to happen.
So there's no mute button on the phone at all?
No, I mean on the conference. The conference line has a built-in feature to mute. That's what I'm understanding.
But even if you don't have that, you should be able to mute your own single cell, your cell phone itself. Should have a mute button on it.
Okay, I would imagine we're going to have to proceed.
Okay.
Well, I don't have access to the controls. The only one that can mute a number is Otis. He's the only one as far as I know.
But Catherine, when you dial into the call, there's a prompt where you can mute, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not familiar with it.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Am I saying the name right? Is it Anissa?
It's Anissa's phone. Yeah,
Anissa,
she's in a meeting. I don't hear it now.
Okay, that's good. It's got it. That she must have found the mute button, because I just can't imagine a cell phone without a mute button. But anyway, what I was saying earlier, item number 6, the attachment sent by Secretary on Monday. Does that include the motion that you're referencing? Because I don't see it in that group. That's why I'm wanted to understand where these motions are located.
I don't believe it's in that group.
Okay.
It is the motion I'm referencing is the motion that I brought to the PNB meeting and that you commented on changing.
Yes.
Made some comments. That was a motion brought in by Ken Aaron. So it wasn't included in that last.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I'll look for it. That's fine.
Yeah, it would have been on the email from the last meeting. Yeah.
Okay,
I think
great.
It's at the end of September 18th minutes. I'm looking right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's at the end of the September December 18th minutes. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
And I didn't separate it out, but I'll make a separate word.
No, but it's on the agenda. It's the first item, broadcast disclaimer cards.
Okay.
From the meeting, I believe it was January 8th.
That was the meeting of the PNB? Okay.
On the programming committee meeting, the one that we didn't reach quorum.
Right.
I believe that was January 8th. It was the first motion.
All right.
Unfortunately, I'm unable to send it while I'm on the phone, so perhaps someone else can copy and send it out again.
All right. I'll do that in a minute or two.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Catherine?
Great. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I just called Ken. He's going to try to call in. Maybe you want to take up the next thing first until he gets a chance to call in?
All right. That sounds great. Unless there's an objection, we'll do that. The second thing I have on the agenda was the implementation of evaluation policy. So, Jim, was that one of the ones that you revised?
Correct.
That includes, I'm about ready to send out the disclaimer card. Let me get that out of the way first.
Okay.
I did revise that, by the way, yeah. Let me just get this disclaimer thing out of here. Okay. Let's see. Hold on. Shit, I'll do that in a minute. Yeah, I think it's in one of the implementation of evaluation policy, and that includes comments of Mr. Jackson in here, which
okay.
are in red. And it's in the rewrite resolutions completed one doc. And so it includes the rewritten resolution, and it also includes the, as an addendum, the resolutions that were passed at the national level in June of 2017 that Grace mentioned several times. And we had a unanimous vote on it. All I did was include Maxie's comments, PD, Meet Programmers Quarterly, beginning April 2019, program evaluation.
This is Ken Aaron joining the meeting. I'll put myself on mute.
Okay, thanks, Ken. All right, go ahead, Ken.
PD meets with programmers quarterly beginning in April 2019, program evaluation based upon traditional measurements, presentation, scheduling, audience data, and revenue to be evaluated annually. I put that in there. Let's see. I did, though, argue, I kept the language of, you guys could read it if you pull it up there. I did include the language of the quarterly basis reports occurring. And then I added the 2017 motions. So I don't know, I didn't really alter that much, except I included Maxie's comments in there.
Okay. And what was the reason for including this other motion?
Which motion was that? Oh, the only reason to include the motion that was passed by the PNB was that it was established as policy on the PNB 2 years ago to have evaluations, and it listed all that other stuff that they'd essentially included in here, which reinforces the kind of comments we were making. It's sort of, you know, there's sort of a redundancy, but the resolution they passed in 2017 is pretty ample, you know, and so I just added that on.
Okay. So up for a vote is the implementation of evaluation policy up to the point where it says, be it resolved that, right? So I'm not,
correct.
We're not voting on a motion that's already been voted on.
That's
okay. So the only change you made was what we see in red. PD meets with programmers quarterly beginning in April 2019. Program evaluation based upon traditional measurements, presentations, scheduling, audience data, and revenue to be evaluated annually. Okay.
Right. That, I believe, is Maxie's comments.
Okay. And then it ends the report. So let me read the whole be it resolved that. Be it resolved that it will be the responsibility of the local general managers and program directors to give an update quarterly as to how this policy is being implemented. PD meets with programmers quarterly beginning in April 2019. Program evaluation based upon traditional measurements, presentations, scheduling, audience data, and revenue to be evaluated annually. And then the reports on how the implementation of the evaluation policy are going must be done on a quarterly basis in written form and submitted to the PNB ED and PNB Programming Committee. So that is the essence of the resolution.
Correct.
So are there any comments or questions or changes that you would like to, that anyone has for this motion?
Maxie,
yes, Grace for the staff.
Yes. Okay, Maxie, then Grace.
I'll yield to Grace. I'll go after Karen.
Okay, Grace.
Okay, there was a programming policy, as noted, that's in this attachment or in this file that was approved by the PNB in June of 2017. The comments in red by Maxie alter that. If it's taken literally, this in red says program evaluation based upon traditional measurements, presentation, scheduling, audience data, and revenue to be evaluated annually. Well, the criteria in the methodology for evaluating programming is not exactly as stated here. So, I don't care that much about the timing, but the policy that was approved by the PNB is as stated in that policy. So to say that evaluation will be based on different measures contradicts somewhat the policy of the foundation approved by the PNB.
Okay, and does one cancel out the other? Is that what you're saying?
Well, the portion in red sort of limits the criteria for evaluation to based upon traditional measurements, presentation, scheduling, audience data, and revenue. So there are more evaluation criteria in the policy passed by the PNB, the most important one being conformity with the Pacifica mission. Program content conform with the Pacifica mission. And then there are other criteria here. For instance, willingness of the programmer to create learning opportunities for interns, including affording them some on-air experience, sound quality of the program, production values of the program, to the program subject matter, add diversity to our grid in terms of appeal to varied demographics and interests. Does the program have a social network presence? Is this the programmer, et cetera, et cetera. So in other words, if there is some objection to the policy that was approved in June 2017, it should be brought to this committee and possibly a revision of this policy be made and sent to the PNB, or the policy should be applied as written, as adopted by the PNB.
So this is Max. I'll comment in response to Grace's statement, if you'd like me to do so.
Yes,
for
sir, limited, please.
I have a response to what I should say. It seems to me that the programming committee should have been the first step in creating this policy that would then be approved by the national board. But
it
seems to me
it came through the programming committee. It was written by the programming committee. And
oh, okay, with all the extra stuff. Okay, got you. Okay, thanks for the clarity on that. If that's the case, then so be it. My only argument would be that the criteria written in this original document, if you will, the one approved by the board, is extremely onerous. And I don't know if it's realistic to expect a program director to go through as many as 11 different criteria on a quarterly basis to evaluate, in some cases, programmers that number over 100 at a station. I just think that that's an extremely onerous task. I think it's almost equivalent to, in some cases, reviewing 3 programmers a day on 11 criteria. I just think that that's well beyond any reasonable expectation for a program director to evaluate these programs. I think some of these probably are common sense, sound quality, production value, if they're lacking in that area, I think it may not just be, well, let me restate this. I think there are some variables in here that may not be the programmer's, it may not be on the programmer specifically. For instance, WBAI's production studio is not nearly as quality as some of the others. And so when you talk about sound quality, there may be some challenges in BAI that would not exist at other stations. So I'll leave it at that. But my main issue is I think that this 13-point plan of evaluation is onerous, an 11-point plan. I just think it's a lot of things to be evaluated on per program.
All right, Jim, to the stack.
And then I would also like to be on the stack. Go ahead, Jim.
All right. I don't see these as mutually exclusive because part of what we're trying to think out loud here is systemically to put in place lots of different kinds of procedures and policies that when the synergy of them work together can sort of take care of these problems. For example, yes, you're right, it is onerous to have to evaluate shows, but the problem is that the evaluation process, frankly, has not existed in any sensible way for years. I'd say several decades. So we got to start somewhere. The Nielsen ratings we now have, but I think the juxtaposition of that with the money, with the membership, that's reasonable. Does the problem content conform with the Pacific Commission? The Pacific Commission is so broad that that sort of covers all sorts of stuff. Sound quality is an interesting question. And production values, admittedly, the question of lack of capacity is important, but that's one of the many things that I think we have to think about how we solve that problem, which, of course, is money. Does it program fit diversity to our grid? Well, that, of course, is quite subjective because then people will argue, well, of course it does and all that. But I do think that we have to establish these are not unreasonable things for somebody to sort of look and scan a show. I know to evaluate shows is very difficult to do, having done it for the management at the station about a year ago. But it has to start, got to start somewhere, so I don't think these are mutually exclusive. And I would suggest a wording attached to the first part of this that this should complement current PNB policy directives on how to evaluate programming previously passed in June 2017, just to add that. And obviously, Ron's not going to be rigid about this. You know, well,
so where do you want to add that?
I want
where do you want to add that?
I want to add that at the end of the first part before we go into the June, you know, before we have the addendum of the June 2017 policy added. That's where I'd like to put that sentence.
So be it resolved that after you say it will be the responsibility of local general
yeah.
managers and program directors. So can you say that statement again?
This should complement current PNB policy directives on how to evaluate programming previously passed in June 2017.
You're talking too fast. Current policy?
This should complement current PNB policy directives on how to evaluate programming previously passed in June 2017.
Okay.
Catherine, you're on the stack as well. Is that right?
Yeah. Are we out of time?
No, I was just making sure.
Okay.
I was just making sure you're on the stack.
Yeah, I am.
This is Ken. Ken Aaron would like to get on the stack.
Yeah.
Hold
on a second. Ken Aaron would like to get on the stack.
Yeah, I spoke in response to what Grace submitted, but that wasn't my that wasn't why I wanted to be on the stack. So should I continue or should I get back in line? I can do either one.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
The other one will be short, I promise.
Okay, go ahead and continue, please.
Yeah, after the that I added to the motion, or that Jim put in that represents my words. The paragraph below that, that the quarterly basis is written in written form and submitted to the PNB ED and PNB Programming Committee. I would argue that the PNB and the PNB Programming Committee should not be part of this submission, that it really should just be to the executive director, because this is not policy, this is operational, and it should really be a matter where the executive director, myself, or whoever, would be evaluating the performance by the GM and the PD. And I think that's where the buck stops.
Okay. Would anyone like... Okay, hold on. I'll bring you up next, Ken. Would anyone like to offer that motion for a change?
Well, I don't agree with that. But anyway, why don't we let Ken talk?
Yeah, I'm going to disagree as well.
Okay, Ken.
Okay, we have I think this is a very, very interesting situation. Certainly, we cannot have executive directors approving or disapproving policies or targets or goals or anything originated from the Pacifica National Board. It's not in the bylaws. And it's not good management, because in the past we've had incompetence or lack of competence or just total, we've had EDs that didn't come in and didn't look at anything. And we've had EDs that have done bad things, and we've had some EDs that have done good things. So we certainly can't forfeit the rights of the Pacifica National Board to set policy for the foundation, including operating policy. We have an entire Pacifica handbook that's soon to be approved by the PNB or evaluated by the PNB, which covers in minute detail operation of staff. So please, let me finish. So it's a very interesting situation. So on the other side of it, let me just finish this.
Ken, hold on a second. Ken, hold on a second. What is the point of clarity?
At no point did I say that the executive director to determine policy. I simply qualified the review process as part of operations, and that evaluating the performance of the PD and GM should stop at the executive director. I didn't say that I should dictate policy or any ED should dictate the policy. I'm simply stating as a suggestion that the policy should not include PNB and PNB Programming Committee in the evaluation process. That's all.
Let me finish my statement.
On the other hand, this is why it's very interesting, it would be absolute insanity to hobble an executive director from managing the foundation. That's what his function is. The buck stops with the executive director, and he passes that down to the general managers and the program director and so forth. So on that side, especially when we have somebody who is competent and has so much experience in the field of radio broadcasting, it would be naive and vain for us to assume that, you know, our ideas can supersede what industry standards are. So those have to be considered. Don't really have an appropriate mechanism. So I'm not even talking about this issue that we're discussing right now. I'm just saying, in general, if the Pacifica National Board requires that all staff provide their middle names, and we want to set that policy, and the executive director says, this is, pedantic and interference, and I disagree with it, we have to have a way or a protocol for addressing those issues. I think that PNB, my viewpoint is, PNB can set these policies of operation, and the executive director has to say, I'm countering that, because the executive director can't, I don't know that the executive director has the authority to revise or issue or request changes in policy. I don't know what vehicle he does that with. But he certainly has the right and responsibility to stop the PNB from destroying itself, or destroying the station by poor standards. However, it's interesting, because I don't think there's any established protocol for handling that kind of a situation, you know.
Catherine,
that's my statement on it. That's all I wanted to say. So,
okay.
Catherine, this is Eric. I just have a quick point of information, if I might. Yes,
go ahead, please.
Mm-hmm. In terms of evaluation of a PD or a GM, does this, in fact, or would this remove that function from a MASC, from the Management Assessment and Search Committee? Because my understanding, built into the bylaws currently, that's who does an evaluation of any type. So does this negate that part of the bylaws, or is an amendment needed to the bylaws to do this?
My understanding is that we can't pass a motion that's going to change the bylaw. If the bylaw is going to be changed, then it has to be a bylaws, an official bylaws change. So are you're pointing out a conflict between what we're doing and the bylaws?
Pretty much so. I mean, I'm just trying to get clarification that this is what Maxie's motion is about. It seems like this would transfer authority from the MASC to the ED. Is that in fact what's happening? Or is this what's being proposed?
I don't think so. But it may be something that would have to be resolved in terms of the bylaws if they were going to be unified in what's being said. So there may be some conflict, but we can't cancel a bylaw.
Okay, good.
By a motion.
All right, Jim, to the stack, please.
Okay, Jim. Where are we on time?
Well, I didn't call it because we seem to... we're about 10 minutes over for this, or 9 minutes over for this segment.
Okay.
But the discussion was such that it demanded additional time, it seemed.
I agree.
But we're about 9 minutes over for this.
Okay, this so item. Are there any objections to the extension of time on this motion that we're taking? Okay, hearing none, let's continue. Jim?
Yeah, let's remember that we're dealing with a situation before Maxie came into the picture, or any ED, where we've basically had several decades of no evaluation process of any rational kind of system set up. And one's not trying to hobble the ED or the PDs. I mean, one's not going to say, okay, I want to micromanage everything. You know, that's not my intent. My intent is to see an evaluation process started. That is that includes some of the things we've talked about. It can obviously be revised. The issues that Maxie put in there of revenue data, scheduling presentation, I think complement what we have already passed. But I think it's important to put that in place, get something going, rather than sit and waste time talking about what it should do and what it should not do. And I do think there's a reporting function. We're not asking the PDs to sit there and write, you know, like, I evaluated this show. You know, we know it's hard to do, but the key thing is to start something going and get something in motion that we can improve upon as it evolves. And that's the intent of all this. It's not to sort of come down with a draconian hammer, but sort of say, okay, let's start trying to do some sort of rational way of seeing what's working and not working in the content we have at the station. It's not to hobble any initiative of the ED to take, because that's the importance of having management. They can move fast to do certain things, particularly timely things. But this is more in the question of the overall quality of the sound, the content we're putting out. We have to have some measurements and rational kind of approaches to figure out, you know, what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And so that's the whole point of all this.
Okay, thank you. I had put myself on the stack a while back, so I'll comment and then I'll bring you in, Grace. One of the things that I have felt about the motion that had already passed was that I believe that all of these issues are relevant to programming, but less so in terms of evaluating whether or not a programmer is doing all of these things, but this being the goal of what programs should be aiming for. So from my perspective, to limit this
evaluation to just statistical data makes it very difficult for a producer to understand how to be successful and how to improve success. But if they understand that they're looking to meet all these different criteria, some programs will be more successful in one way than the other. And so there may be a producer that has a large community influence, and there may be another producer that has a home studio that can do good quality. So I don't see this as a mark.
Well, I agree, but I mean, I was just saying, if I take this phone home, I was just saying, when am I going to...
Hello. Please, you're... Calm down. We can hear your conversation, Anissa. So my point is that I think that all of these things in the first motion that passed are relevant as a person who is a producer, because what happens on the ground when you're just dealing with statistic and standards, there's no mechanism for a producer to understand how to meet it, and it limits the richness of a program and finding the richness within a program in the evaluation process. So if a programmer is meeting a community need but not making money, that's a certain hierarchy of questions. So from my perspective, this represents a target that producers have to meet on some level, all of these standards, to the best of their ability. But without these standards, we are kind of lost as to what we're supposed to be doing. So that's my point. Grace?
Thank you, Catherine. I agree. First of all, I'd like to say that for those of us who are not familiar with this, the bylaws, Pacifica bylaws, and Article 7, Local Station Boards, Section 3, Specific Powers and Duties, two of the duties, one is Part F, to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's program director, and the other one is Part C, to prepare an annual written evaluation of the station's general manager. So evaluation of the general manager and the program director is partly a power and duty of the local station board. So that doesn't mean that the general manager would not evaluate the program director as well. Of course, that would happen. The general manager is responsible for evaluating all of staff. Now, I am glad that Maxie's on the call and is showing a willingness to consult with the committees and the P&B, and a willingness to apply policy and to get standard procedures implemented. We've had a problem with getting anything implemented. We've lots of policy that's just never applied. So that's encouraging. I think that if a station has 100 programmers and there are 52 weeks in a year, it's not unreasonable to expect the program director to evaluate 2 programmers per week. In the evaluation policy itself, it states that the way to do it, which would be first start with morning and evening drive time, the most listened to parts of the grid first, as probably those portions of the grid are the most important in terms of potential listenership. So there is a methodology in that policy. I don't think it would be valuable to evaluate our programming solely based on statistical criteria. I think that Pacifica is different and unique, and that we have moral and ethical concerns as well as just financial and other concerns. So I think that those things in the evaluation policy are important. Now, there may be situations where a program may be excellent, but let's say there are 5 programs all in the subject of cleaning pots, Well, we don't need five programs on cleaning pots. So the program director has to adjudicate programming changes as a whole based on the needs of the community and on a diversity of subject matter. So maybe we have no programs on watering plants, but too many programs on cleaning pots. I'm being ridiculous, but sometimes we have too much of one subject matter or one demographic or one type of programming and not enough of another, and that is separate and apart from evaluating individual programs. And that's something that the program director and the general...
Hello? Okay, Anissa signing off.
Attitude. Have a lot
of time. Thank you.
Involved. So, that's basically all I have to say. I think we should stick
Catherine, we're approaching. We're at 20. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Grace.
I think we should just stick to the policy as approved by the PNB in terms of program evaluation.
Okay, Catherine, we're roughly at 23 minutes after the hour on this item. We started roughly 3 minutes of the hour. Just
okay.
Why not?
All right. So, let's take a vote on the motion as amended.
Can someone read the motion once again, please?
All right. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation passed resolutions seeking an evaluation process of all programs at each station be implemented many months ago, and the lack of an ongoing and fair process at all the Pacifica stations is one source of unwanted tension. Since when change is made, it can be done abruptly, seemingly unfairly, and disruptively because the teams implementing the change are responding to long simmering problems that need to be suddenly altered. It is preferred that a fair process be developed and implemented for all the shows so change can be made and tweaking done if necessary. This is not to mean shows should not be removed if they no longer have any gravitas, but any other forms of audio delivery need to be developed so that shows removed from analog can also be allowed to thrive as digital shows. The lack of training and evaluation processes at the station is part of the process of bad management of the air that needs to be rectified. Be it resolved. It will be the responsibility of local managers and program directors to give an update quarterly as to how this policy is being implemented. PD meets with programmers quarterly beginning in April 2019. Program evaluation is based on traditional measurements and presentations.
Excuse me, Jim, but you made an addition?
No, I'm reading the whole damn thing.
Yeah, but you added a sentence. This should complement current PMB policy.
Yeah, that's directed. That's the end. That's the end here. The reports on how the implementation of an evaluation policy are going must be done on a quarterly basis in written form and submitted to the PNB ED and PNB Programming Committee. This should complement current PNB policy directives on how to evaluate programming previously passed in June 2017. And the National Programming Committee would like the IED or the ED to follow up on the resolutions below that were adopted by the PNB in June 2017 and report back in writing to the National Programming Committee. That's the motion.
Catherine, this is Eric. Can I weigh in for about 2 seconds, if it's permissible?
Okay.
Jim, that word fair and fairly, it seems like it needs to come out. It just further complicates things.
No problem. Fair and fairly. I realize it's subjective. The lack of ongoing. Okay, I'll take that out. But I'd just soon get this thing passed rather than wait for another goddamn meeting.
Okay, and but where is fairly?
I think the lack of an ongoing and fair evaluation process at all the Pacific stations. Is that what you're talking about?
The word fairly is in there somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where. It comes in. I think fair is mentioned once or perhaps twice, and then fairly follows that.
Unfairly, you mean? Seemingly and unfairly. Since when?
Oh, okay, well, that's it.
You want that?
Yeah, those are. Yeah, if you can pull those out, it makes things less complicated.
All right, you don't want me to conclude why we're doing this. That is that people get angry when it's all of a sudden comes out of the thin air.
Well, what's fair to someone is... I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's the only reason I have here, because we know that one of the things that people complain about is that there's no evaluation process at all, and they raise holy hell about it. So that's one.
That's fine. I'm just suggesting what's fair to A may not be fair
true,
to B.
True, I agree. We certainly saw that in the staff meeting at BAI. All right.
This is great.
Do you want me to take?
I think that that the whole sentence, since when change is made, it can be done abruptly, seemingly unfairly, and disruptively because the team's implementing the change. Is responding to long-simmering problems that need to be suddenly altered. I think that whole sentence should be removed. It's
fine. I'll take it out. No problem.
Doesn't need to be in there. And I lost
right.
it. I think that the sentence, the part of the sentence in red, the last part of it, should be removed because it's instituting a different evaluation process than the one that is current Pacifica policy. And maybe mistakenly considered to be to override established Pacifica policy.
Well, actually, everything that he has in there, program evaluation based on traditional measurements, presentation scheduling, audience data, and revenue be evaluated annually, I think is also included in what you guys passed in June 2017.
That's true, but it seems to limit the evaluation to those criteria.
That's
why
I put
this
take it out or clarify.
This is why I had understood that the change, this should complement current PMB policy.
Right.
I understood that to be following the type in red.
Okay.
So that
I'll shift that over to there.
But the thing is that Maxie's intention was to, it seems to me, he's here, was to limit the evaluation process. He has a problem with the policy passed in 2017, considers it onerous. So, this needs to be resolved.
This is true. My concern, again, is the fact that we're asking the PD to do this quarterly and to look at 12 distinct areas of measurement or evaluation to determine whether a programmer is doing a good job or not. And I, again, think that's onerous. And if we just stick with a kind of more simplistic review approach, the program director is going to be evaluated on whether scheduling is done well, if they, you know, all kinds of other factors. The programs, I think you got to keep it a little bit more basic. Because I just think we're putting way too many variables in the mix for there to be review. So if you were to take all 12, if someone is 6 good and 6 bad, are they off? What about the person who's 9 good and 3 bad? I mean, what's the measurement that says, okay, you have to be perfect in all of them? It's too many things.
All right. Go on, Catherine.
Catherine, for the stack, I'd like to respond to that. I'm not aware that the motion, I wasn't on the committee in 2017 when this is passed, but I don't see that the prior motion is asking for a quarterly report. Is that the case? Am I missing that?
Yeah, I have that in there.
In the new motion, but in the first motion, does it say anything about quarterly?
Yeah, give an update quarterly as the policy is being implemented. I have that in there.
I'm not talking about your motion. I'm talking about the motion that passed.
The motion that they passed. Oh, interesting. No, I don't see that in there at all.
Okay. So maybe that's where the solution would be, in that the other qualifications are not quarterly. It could be over a year or whenever.
It still begs the question. You're being graded on 12 different items. How many do you need to pass to maintain your show? Because that's what this is going to come down to.
All right. Jim, to the side.
Okay. Jim and Catherine.
So before we continue, We have to decide if we want to hash this out now and leave everything else for another day, or if we want to put this on the table and come back to it, or if we want to vote on it as it is, because it's going to take more time. So what I'm saying is there any objection to extending time further? And I'm asking that with the understanding that we're not going to be able to do as much as we had hoped.
Okay. Catherine, this is Eric, if I might, for a few seconds, just respond.
Yeah. Yes, Eric.
Jim, it sounds like this needs to be reworked, unless you're just insisting it has to be resolved tonight. Is it possible this can be reworked and brought up later or at the next meeting?
No, I think this is too important. I think that we've been fiddling around with this now for years, so I think we have to resolve this. But I have other comments I wanted to make.
Okay, so is there any objection to extending the discussion on the evaluation policy? No. Okay, so let's continue. So let's try to have comments be ones of resolving some of these issues, if we can. Go ahead, Jim.
All right, first of all, when I went on the air many years ago, I was evaluated by, we had more people evaluating content at WBAI. We had an arts director, we had a public affairs director, we had a program director who would occasionally do training in terms of radio art, which hasn't, none of these things have happened for several decades. And so to me, it's not unreasonable. And in fact, I recall that we used to have to do the program evaluations before we were submitting money for the CSG grants. So I just don't think it's unreasonable to have people having, fair-minded critiques. I use that word that's loaded to some, of what's going on in the air. And I just think, I really think an annual review is ridiculous because we're so behind the eight ball on all this stuff that we got to get cranking now. And I think that to say to the PD, we're not saying the PD has to, like, completely go bananas and do everything. That's impossible. Maybe the PD then has to have people help the PD because, too much onus is put on the PD in a situation which hasn't been looked at systemically, critically for 20 years. But I think that an evaluation process is essential, and I think we're trying to figure out ways that, quote, can be objective. But obviously it's subjective. But right now it's completely subjective. And the reason to put in the training stuff and put in capacity stuff is that this is just simply one part of reforming different kinds of stations in terms of the sound they put out. In other words, you can't put good sound out if you don't have good production facilities. We know BAI needs that. Other stations need that too. So all these things cannot be isolated from other aspects of what needs to happen, which is quite systemic. And so that's why I just think we can't, diddle-dawdle about this. This is something that really has to start.
Okay, so I would also like to comment, and actually I wanted to respond to the perspective that you're bringing to this. So primarily because I am a programmer, so I view it from the perspective, from the vantage point of a programmer. So from my perspective, these I don't understand what traditional measurements mean unless it's something that relates to mainstream media. So to me, the traditional measurements, presentation scheduling, I don't, as a programmer, understand what that means. Audience data, I can understand. Revenue, I can understand. But from the perspective of a programmer, I can understand what it means to bring in membership as opposed to raising money. I can understand how my content needs to conform to the Pacifica mission. I can understand learning opportunities. So these are things that I can comprehend and execute. in the original motion that already passed. So production value, sound quality, these are things, from my perspective, that would present guidance to me as a producer, and also would provide to me as a producer a way of defending my program. So if I've been informed that my program is being canceled or moved or is being devalued in what it's offering, then I can say, I can respond in a way that says, well, wait a minute, I represent a certain kind of diversity in the programming grid. Wait a minute, I'm reaching out to a demographic that's being missed. So from my perspective, this looks, the original motion looks like something that a producer could respond to and know how to fix problems and understand where they might be short and where they may need to pick up their game. In the abbreviated version, I wouldn't know how to comply with that. And so from my perspective, so I'm not seeing it from the perspective of a program director having to evaluate everything, but I'm seeing it from the perspective of a programmer that needs to understand what's needed from me. And from that perspective, the original motion is very valuable to me as a programmer. So I don't know how that fixes or relates to your perspective, but if I had to choose, I would personally choose the first motion that has already passed and not this new motion.
Would you like me to respond?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So let me first start out by articulating that we are no longer in a producer-driven approach to media creation. The rest of the media world left that model years ago. We are in a user-driven model, which means that it is not necessarily so much about what the programmer views as useful or valuable. It's about the program director and the station manager doing the necessary market research and audience research to understand what are the needs, wants, and aspirations of the community served. Under that model, when you see presentation and scheduling in particular, what we talk about in scheduling is the program in the right place? For instance, when I was just out in L.A., there's a lot of background noise. When we were just in L.A., there are examples of Hispanic or Spanish language programming in the middle of the day.
Could people please mute if you're not speaking?
Yeah. That's a very disruptive way to schedule programming. So I would expect the show that immediately follows that, if it's in English language, to suffer audience-wise because of its placement, where it's scheduled. So when I look at this, what the amendment I put together was to simply say that a PD doesn't have to look at programming, should I kill it or not? It's more of, is it in the right place? Is it being executed on the schedule properly? Is the presentation style up to snuff? And then looking at audience data to recognize whether it's building audience. Does it have good audience flow in terms of the schedule? Should it be placed in another time slot that maybe can maximize the audience that it's intended for? We are not broadcasting. We are actually narrowcasting, especially with the program schedules that many of our stations have. And so, at the end of the day, I think it's valuable for our programmers to understand what they can do to improve their programs. But the evaluation process for PD involves so much more than that, and it's understanding how that one programmer fits into the whole of the program schedule. And I think what I was trying to articulate here is that the program evaluation needs to be more broad in its scope than just the narrow idea of how this one particular piece unto itself performs. It has to be taken into a broader context. So I don't know if I'm disagreeing or agreeing with you so much. I want to place the emphasis not so much on the programmer, but on the usefulness of the station itself to the audience. That, to me, is the bigger issue. The public service that we're offering is the more important piece here. When I was in New York, there was a woman who said, I do a valuable show on housing. And I said, that's great. But maybe you don't need to have a show. Maybe you need to be a segment of another, of a broader show that talks about human rights or something like that. That's a valid analysis of whether it should be on the schedule in the way that it is scheduled. So, again, I just want us to take it outside of what is best for the programmer and ask ourselves what's best for the audience.
Well,
this is Grace for the stack.
I'm going to respond to that as well.
Sabrina for the stack. I've been trying to get on the stack for the last 15 minutes.
Okay, Grace, Sabrina.
Yeah.
I think I would like to, before, if you don't mind, I would like to respond directly that I think the problem here, Matthew, is that we're talking about two different things. I understand your perspective, but what you're talking about is guidance to the program director and how they should structure the air. And what we've been talking about is programs and deciding how well they are meeting their mission as programs. So I believe we're talking about two different things.
You can't do that is what I'm arguing. You really can't look at a single program on its own and ask the question, is it succeeding, without asking how it affects everything around it? How does it fit into the bigger scheme of the program architecture, the program schedule, the mission of the station? Yeah, that's included in this thing. But as I think Grace mentioned, a show that might be geared towards one very niche part of our progressive community might not be, you know, on the same level of public service as a program that speaks to a broader swath of progressives. So,
It may very well. I respectfully disagree.
No, that's fine. I'm simply making the point, Catherine, that the whole fact that we're focusing so much on what is best for the programmer as a unique
I would argue your characterization.
Let me just say, as someone who has been programming, I will finish this statement real quick. I would just argue that it's important that we move more towards looking at our program schedules as a larger enterprise than just individual programs. The NFL is 32 teams, but we view that as an entire ecosystem. We have to look at our program schedules as ecosystems, and how do the programs fit into that.
Okay. Let's let Grace speak, but I would also say that each person on the team is coached. Okay, Grace.
Okay. We're talking about two completely different things. This is not saying that we're going to be program-centric in Pacifica, programmer-centric. That's not what the program evaluation motion from 2017 is all about. Nor does it preclude movement or changes in the grid, no. It's just simply evaluation of individual programs so that they are evaluated. It doesn't mean that if they get a good evaluation, they'll stay in that place on the grid. That's an entirely different subject, one thing at a time. And the first thing is each program needs to be evaluated. And it needs to be evaluated, as far as I'm concerned, on the criteria that is enumerated in the policy from June 2017. It takes no real extra time or even high-level mathematics to do this. The program directors can send out a survey to all the programmers, asking them if they do social media, asking them if they have any interns, asking them if they have interns who they give airtime to, giving them this policy to explain to them that they will be evaluated on the basis of the policy, to make sure, and they can send back written feedback, or the program director can ask them those questions. This is something that can be done very rapidly. Most of the points on that evaluation, in that evaluation motion, could be done after the programs, or a sampling of some of the programs, could be done in a very short period of time, under an hour. And then the other criteria would be evaluated as well. But the first thing is just simply so that each program is evaluated. Then the grid evaluation is a totally separate item, and market research and all kinds of other things go into that. But each programmer, since they volunteered or they may be paid staff, to move the programming of a paid staff or to remove a paid staff person, and we have paid programmers, there needs to be a thorough evaluation, and it should not be really different for paid programmers than it should be for unpaid programmers. So that this motion is just to be applied to evaluate every program. And the criteria, I think, is valid. We don't want to go. I don't think Pacifica wants to go in a completely corporate direction. That's not the way we want to go. We don't want to go completely based on statistics. I think that statistics in terms of listenership and money generated by the program has been undervalued in Pacifica. But we don't want to go completely with a pendulum swing in the other direction, where adherence to the Pacifica mission and things like that, mentoring new programmers, developing talent, creating a social media presence, where that's completely devaluated. So let's not go. Let's have a compromise. The program evaluation policy has all of those elements, and I think that's what most stakeholders in Pacifica want. They want more structure, but not total structure to the exclusion of the individual programmer and to the exclusion of the Pacifica mission and other such values that we have in common, I believe.
Maxie to the stack when I get a chance. Sorry.
Okay, Sabrina, then we'll come back to you, Maxie.
Yeah, I'd just like to say I agree with what Grace said, and I appreciate the clarification. I also want to echo what Catherine said in regards to certain programmers hold, you know, they are representative of a particular demographic, which is very important, and that needs to be taken into consideration. And I think with the evaluations of each program, that's going to give the program director a better idea of what's on the grid and how we can all move forward in a positive direction. But yeah, exactly. It's like as far as commercial and the commercialization and the better practices or whatever catchphrases they use on commercial radio to commodify the actual products that the programmers are putting out, it's not the way to go. That's not what Pacifica does. That's not what we're about. We survived all this time, getting ready to hit 70 years old for a reason. So this particular model has worked, and it can continue to work by combining the old with the new. Thank you.
Jim,
okay,
to the stack.
Maxie.
First of all, I want to make it very clear. What I'm communicating is not a commercial media model. It is not even necessarily a quote-unquote professional model. It's simply, and I may have confused the point by going in the direction I went. I almost wish I could strike it from the record. At the end of the day, I'm not really opposed to all the things that have been presented here as criteria. My issue is that I think they're too numerous for an evaluation process. And it's just that simple. If you don't agree, that's fine. I'm not against there being policy. I'm certainly not against there being evaluation. I'm going to be working with the program directors and the station managers to help them define how they should be going about doing that in all aspects of radio station operations. So the last thing I'm against is policy that creates evaluation. I'm all for that. And if it needs to be real clear to everyone on this call, the last thing I'm trying to do is make Pacifica
a commercial media enterprise or anything that resembles it in any form or fashion. But let's be real clear. There is a playbook at play at Pacifica for programming that is outdated. And we have got to update our program, not to be like others, but just to acknowledge the fact that listeners of media, of radio in particular, do not use it in the way that they did 20, 30 years ago. And at some point, we've got to update and upgrade what we do to match the listening behavior of the audiences we desire to reach. That's just the facts. And so, again, I'm not trying to argue against policy. I'm not trying to argue against evaluation. I'm not trying to professionalize this or commercialize it in any form or fashion. I just want us to be cognizant that the real measurement of success is public service, and the evaluation process for that need not to be so complicated that it is an exhaustive 12-point strategy. I think a lot of it, and what is articulated in my red part of the addendum, actually covers a lot of these small parts. I just think it's dangerous to put so many criteria at play, and I think it's also dangerous to try to create policy because we haven't had one for so long and be over rambunctious, all due respect to my friend Jim. I don't think we have to go overboard to make up for lost time. Let's start with baby steps, and let's grow it and emerge it to a more sophisticated matrix, if you will, down the road. But let's start with baby steps, create something that's manageable. Not every station we have has a PD. We haven't even talked about that. That's it for me.
Jim, were you on the set?
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I see, for example, I watched Maxie's total presentation that he gave in New York. Fortunately, John Riley had filmed it. And I'll be up front. Most of my opinions agree with Maxie on a whole bunch of stuff. I don't see the issue of arguing that strip programming works is sort of counter-revolutionary because we know it works. I mean, anybody, that was the whole argument 25 years ago with the old PNB. They wanted to have strip programming, and they were clumsy in their implementation of it. They basically were rather ham-fisted. People in the Bay Area and L.A. know that far better than we do, but we know that here in New York, too. So I don't disagree with that because, you know, the strip program that emerged from that whole imbroglio was Democracy Now, and they certainly have thrived, haven't they? So strip programming in and of itself is not an evil thing. The question is, how do we deal with the eclecticism, the diversity of all the different opinions on the air? And I do think that measurements are important, not only the Nielsen's, but everything else that comes in. I don't agree with Maxie about the question of, you know, not setting in these kind of criteria, because part of what I'm arguing about is that, you know, if we have training going on, that's why I was always interested to find out what was going on in California, what goes on in the other stations, if we have an attention to the aesthetics of sound art going on, which is sort of encouraged culturally in each station, and we also have, these kind of measurements implemented more or less simultaneously. They can be in baby steps, they can be in big steps, they can be in track sprint steps. I don't care how they are. They have to be simultaneously implemented. Then some of these problems of evaluation are going to, like, sort of fall by the wayside because people will go, aha, having good sound is important, and what that means, because that's a whole other discussion to have. But I don't think we need to throw, and I agree the issue of coordination at the director level versus down to the show level. Most of the people coming on the air are volunteers, and they do not, at this point, I don't know what goes on in Berkeley, I don't know what goes on in L.A., I don't know what goes on the other stations, but when they come into the station, there has to be a reasonable expectation that they will not only learn how to use Pro Tools and other aspects of operating on the board, but they'll be exposed to I'm quoting you, Maxie, the best practices. What are best practices in terms of doing and performing and creating radio, sound? And that doesn't happen. That is jealously guarded. It's not a process of – it should be a process of osmosis that's passed on. And because the stations have such a culture that doesn't encourage that, that's the whole point to get this kind of stuff in motion. So I guess there's a point where I disagree with Grace and Sabrina and others because I do think there has to be some sort of practicality in juxtaposing the practical needs of moving forward with the overall grids, at the same time respecting the individual needs of programmers. And they have good gripes, but that's the kind of stuff we have to address and think about policy-wise when we're talking about these things at this level.
Okay.
Ken, this is Zach.
Go ahead, Ken.
I concur with, you know, I concur with some of what everybody says, people individually. I think it's a mistake to lower standards to the lowest common denominator of stations, to say we have a crippled station and we can't demand too much from it. Keep the standards high, keep the goals high, and then management, GMs, program directors, the ED, can request for special exemptions or can request, you know, tolerance. But don't lower the standards. Keep the goals and standards high, and then as management say, well, this we did the best. Three stations improves in these areas. Two had some trouble. Fine, because that's the kind of way we're going to evaluate the management, by their ability to attain the goals of improvement and expansion of the stations. But I think it's a really bad idea to lower the expectations and standards and goals and say, well, you know, they're just too messed up to make any progress at all, so we're not going to ask anybody to make any progress. Just keep the standards and goals high and make exceptions if necessary. I think it's wrong to anticipate that it's going to be used abusively. It's going to be used by demanding that people produce and go for high standards and don't sit on illusionary laurels that they think they have. But say, we're looking at practicality. We're looking for listeners and members, donations, and we're looking for broader influence on society and fulfillment of the goals of the mission statement. So just keep the standards high, and if necessary, back off when necessary. Thank you.
Okay, so I don't know if this is getting us anywhere, but I just wanted, as a point of clarification, Jim, Democracy Now! Came much before the coup, so it wasn't as a consequence of. But so are we ready to vote on this? Are there any other suggestions for updates, changes? Are there any motions to correct this?
Okay, this is Grace. I'd like to amend the motion.
And what would you like to amend?
I'd like to take out that sentence I mentioned before that Eric had a problem with. Just delete that whole sentence and delete the second part of the section in red about that gives a different type of